Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up everybody and burn down the system, fails the exit polls. Wake up the silence.
Welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 24. So tonight's going to be a fun night, and your co-hosts with you tonight are Michael West, Sayla Janelle, the ever-awesome Susan Roddy, and, of course, yours truly, Stephen Zimmer, made it back in the nick of time from a author photo shoot. So I am here, thankfully. But we are going to have a fun night. Well, we actually had a guest that had to had a schedule conflict and had to cancel with short notice. So tonight we are going to have what I termed a wild card night, and so there's going to be lots of different things going on. We also are probably going to open up the lines a little bit and also discuss some author topics and urban fantasy, and then we are going to also cover a little bit of news and make a big announcement with Imaginarium. But first and foremost, today is an exciting day in the world of Michael West, and I'm going to hand it over to him because today the ebook version of Hades Disciples was released, and coinciding with it, with the ever great Bitten by Book site, we have had a great event that started today, and it's actually ongoing now, and you can go over there and win an Amazon gift card and interact with Michael there on an interactive thread at Bitten by Books. And so I'm going to pass it over to Michael to talk about his launch day. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, today today had a very early start. I thought that we were launching at midnight, and I ended up falling asleep last night. So then I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning, and I'm like, it's live. So I started posting the links to it and whatnot. But yeah, it was live on Kindle at least at 2 o'clock this morning, and then on Nook this morning at about 10 a.m. But yeah, so far a lot of people have said that they have downloaded it, and it was climbing the Amazon charts throughout the day. So I was most happy. I'm really, really excited about this book. If you guys have not seen Matt Perry's amazing interior illustrations yet, you should go to the Seven Star Press site or my website at buymichaelwest.com, or it's on my Facebook page as well. But Matt really outdid himself with these. The illustrations are just amazing. I mean, when I saw the sketches that he did, of course, and Matt always says, well, these are rough sketches. And it's always like Doc Brown in Back to the Future. It's like, I'm sorry I didn't have time to paint this or build it to scale. You know, it's like...
Yeah. He's incredible. When you posted those, my mind was, like, blown. I was like, I cannot wait for this book. You're right. The illustrations are just incredible.
Yeah, it's just it just blew me away. And you know, it's like Matt is scary in that, you know, I think he has mind powers because, you know, it's like I'll give him, like, sections that I think would make good illustrations, and what he gives me is exactly what I was picturing, if not better than what I was picturing.
Well, I think Jessica Lay sent me a note today. Jessica Lay, of course, of Jess Resides Here fame. She's from Australia. Called in last week, but her comment on your artwork was hilarious. Her comment back to me today on everything was, those images that Matt drew for Michael, holy crap, awesome and pervy. So.
Well, that should be like the testimonial for Matt Perry, just like awesome and pervy should be his tagline from here on out.
That's Matt's blurb. That goes on his business cards. the thing about, and there's one particular illustration that everyone's talking about, and there's a scene in the book that when all the pre-readers read it, they were like, Matt has to do that. I have to see what he's going to do with that. And I said, there's no way Matt can illustrate that. There's no way. And there was a lot of discussions about ways to approach it. I was like, well, what if we do like silhouettes through dragon wings and stuff, you know? So, I mean, we were like throwing stuff around, trying to figure out the best way to do it. And Matt says, I have an idea that I think if I do it, when you look at it, you'll be like, wow, and then 2 seconds later, you'll get what's going on, and you're like, ugh.
Michael.
That is an apropos discussion.
Yeah, you really don't want to know what he conceived of for an alternate version for the limited edition, which I can't describe on the air.
Wow.
I just said, you know, you're the one who said that the limited edition isn't for you know, is you know, more of a private sale kind of a thing, so we could be a lot more
risque. Yeah.
I just said I'll keep that in mind for book three.
Oh, man. I'm so glad to know you guys. Let me just say, I'm so glad you're in my life.
Oh, man. Hey, and also I've got news for you, Michael. As of now, the folks at Kobo have finally gone live. So you can also get Hades Disciples at Kobo, along with the Nook and Kindle version. So that's a new update.
I am global.
Actually, the Kobo folks are pretty popular in the international kind of book world. So, yeah, you are.
it's weird because one of the questions I got at Bidden by Books was, have your books been translated into any other languages? And I said, no, but the funny thing is the English version sells in just about every country, so it doesn't.
But, yeah, is there an easy way to describe the URL? Or I guess we could just head over to Bitten by Books, and I bet you they've got that right there to link in. Because people can actually go over today.
If you follow me on Twitter at Twitter.com/@bymichaelwest, or if you go on Facebook /@bymichaelwest page, there are links there that can take you directly to it.
Hang on. Let me see if I can share from your page to the Star Chamber Show page. Let me see if I can find this.
Bitten by Books does have a link on the home page right now, as of now, along with a very nice Sailor Janelle old school banner off to the right. But they've got, Michael link to his interactive chat sitting on the front page at Bitten by Books.
I've been looking at Sayla's old school banner all day today.
Damn right you have.
That's a damn fine banner, by the way, Sayla.
Why, thank
I think
you.
So.
Which one is it? Is that the one Stephen did or the one Susan did? I think this one Susan did.
Oh, give me some
there
right
are actually
now. This is
two.
All I did.
You did one, and then I bought another month. So we've been
oh, they're both up there. There are two up there. Oh, my God, there are two banners.
Sorry.
Side box.
There are two banners?
Yeah, Sheila owns the front page.
Stephen, I hadn't realized you had gotten a month because I had, when I had reserved or talked to her for the day, I had already went ahead and put in payment for one. So this is what happens when we're both very gung-ho about a book.
Well, it's a perfect site. It fits you perfectly. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Well, yeah.
Talk about gung-ho. Today I would have been disqualified by the Olympic Committee for my false start.
No. There's no hard rules, Michael. You're okay.
I was telling Stephen earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday, that I don't think I've been this excited about one of my books since my first book. So, I mean, this is...
that's so cool.
Well, it's just that I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about these characters, but they've just really, you know, found a place close to my heart, and it's great when you're working on a series and you know that you have to deal with people for an extended period of time, like 3 or 4 books, that you actually like the people that you're writing.
Oh yeah, that helps. Okay, I posted the Bitten by Books link. I shared it on the Star Chamber Show page. So if you check out the Star Chamber Show page on Facebook, you're going to find the link to the Bitten by Books event for Michael West. So, yeah.
Yay.
Very cool.
When is your event, Sayla?
The 21st, so next week, next Wednesday.
Very cool.
It'll just be a Star Chamber Show, will be an extension of the Bitten by Books.
There you go.
Hey, that's good company to be in. Yeah, because I know Rachel and all the staff over at Bitten by Books, they're just awesome. And, yeah, we've worked with them done a lot of work with them over the last few years, and just a great bunch to work with.
Well, you know what we ought to mention? We ought to mention the big Jason Sizemore event.
Well, that's definitely coming up, yes, Saturday. As a matter of fact, in Lexington, Kentucky, at Joseph Beth Booksellers. And we actually have an update because at 4 o'clock, the awesome Jason Sizemore is going to be taking center stage for his Irredeemable short story collection, which is going to, of course, also have some giveaways from both, as of today, I found out that both us and at Seven Star Press and Apex will both be contributing many books to the giveaway lot, and so you can win some good stuff. And then afterwards, just after 6 o'clock, we're going to be heading over to Giuseppe's Restaurante, which is a fabulous Italian restaurant that's not far from Joseph Beth. And you can join Jason and continue to celebrate and have a great dinner and after party kind of thing right afterwards. So it's going to be a really cool event this Saturday in Lexington at Joseph Beth Booksellers starting at 4 o'clock and then migrating to Giuseppe's Ristorante at just after 6. So it's going to be a great time, and it's going to be – I've got word that a number of really cool writers and editors and all are going to be coming in for the event. So there's going to be a great gathering of some really, really great folks, too. So you get to hang with some cool people. So it's going to be fun. And even our very own Rodney Carlstrom is rumored to be making the trip. So that'll be always an exciting event.
Well, you know you have made it when Rodney makes the trip to Chris and your event.
Yeah, he's definitely so cool we can't stand it. I'm gonna do that evil Eddie mimic that Fright Night scene one day in at full tilt. You're gonna love it, but for right now we'll just call him with Carlstrom.
Although my favorite evil Ed line from Fright Night is, "The master will kill you for this, but slowly, oh, so slowly."
Oh, yeah.
He's got those huge, huge honking teeth in, so he's like, he's trying to talk through the teeth. It's like, "He'll kill you for this, but slowly, oh, so slowly."
He was always one of my favorite characters in that era of movies. I mean, a lot of characters.
Well, yeah, Fright Night is still, to this day, one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You
but
can't really date me for, like, wild, you know, fun horror movies. Like, oh, man. Good stuff.
Well, vampires in the 80s were just so cool. You had, you know, you had the...
They were.
You had Fright Night, and you had Lost Boys, and you...
Yeah. Even,
you know,
like, Near Dark was pretty cool, too. I mean,
oh,
it
Near
was
Dark.
Sort of a different type.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another one of my favorites. I love that.
Yes.
It's basically a Western, but it's a Western with vampires, and it's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that was one of my favorites, too.
Good
times,
good
times.
All the way around. Yeah. Like, I think people forget about all the 80s, like, all they did to kind of modernize the vampire genre. Like, I think people want to skip directly to, like, Buffy and things like that, which is great, but I think you're, you know, negating a lot of transitional stuff that happened in the 80s that really, really kind of rocked the boat and took things in different directions and made it fun, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, you went from, like, you know, the traditional Dracula, you know, Romanian guy in a cape to you know, the 70s where you had Count Yorga and Blackula, and you know, one of my favorites growing up was Vampire Circus and the old Hammer movies.
Yeah. Well, even like with Anne Rice, I mean, you still have that historical kind of hush romantic flair to it, which, I mean, is not bad, but it's definitely, it doesn't feel quite as modern because so much of that takes place in flashbacks or backstories to me. So for me, like, reading her stuff and then kind of watching, now, I mean, this was in college, this was after the 80s, but I mean, I grew up around all this stuff, so then kind of, you know, watching all this stuff, it really was like a beautiful punch in the face. Like, it was kind of like, oh, so this could have been like happening in a world that I grew up in. Okay, cool. I mean, it was just really fun.
Well, and the thing about those vampires that was so cool was the fact that, you know, they could be hip, they could be suave, they could be, you could see them, bringing people into their, you know, orbit because they were so, you know, charismatic, but yet they could flip out and be totally, you know, feral monsters, you know?
Yes. I was just doing a guest post for a bit in my books for later, a couple months from now, about vampires, and I was saying that same thing. Like, that's part of why I really like The Lost Boys. I mean, you kind of got this group that's, like, you know, too cool for school, this group that you want to be a part of or you want to be noticed by. And, yeah, they'll let you near them, but, you know, it's for their own motives. I mean, it's not because they're all, you know, emotional or romantical or, you know, it's not this whole other thing. They're vampires, so they're going to use it for their own selfish means, and it's just fabulous. It's great.
Yeah, I'm sitting back waiting for Sailor to mention the movie since we've been talking about the 80s and vampires. I for sure thought that Sailor was going to mention The Hunger with David Bowie.
Oh, yes, how can I forget? Oh, no! Oh, my David Bowie card's going to be revoked. Oh, no!
Oh,
it's been so long since I've seen that. Yes!
Oh.
I just remember that opening sequence with their necklaces. Yeah, with their necklaces with the, like, the onks and the knives and And they intercut it with
Scott.
The shots of the monkeys. Yeah. That was a great. That was fun.
Oh, and what I loved about that was just the whole. The scene. Oh, where the girl comes over to the house for the violin lesson.
Yes.
And, it's just the way it's shot and everything, it's just so powerfully done, you know. And I was just listening to the Hunger soundtrack not too long ago. Because that's another thing. It's like you had the whole, you know, whenever you start a movie off with Bauhaus, you know you're in for a treat.
Yeah. I just, the opening sequences of that, I just remember, like, staring transfixed at it and being like, what the hell is this? Like, it was just so cool. In a weird, like, just awesome cinematography sort of way. Like, it just was entrancing. And uncomfortable, too. Like, not like cool vampires. It definitely had an uncomfortable element to it, but...
Oh, yeah. And just just the Ankh necklaces was so
yes.
such a cool thing.
That.
And the way the vampires
yes.
you know disintegrated was just it was
yes.
just so cool. It was so cool.
Speaking of vampire movies, I have not seen it yet because like there's only one theater anywhere in this area that's showing it, and I haven't had a chance to get down there. But the one I'm really excited to see. Now, this is kind of more of the emotional vampire. Yeah, you know where I'm going. I really want to see Only Lovers Left Alive. Like, I'm really stoked for this movie.
Yeah.
I want to see this so bad.
Well, and you know, anytime you have William Hurt playing an undead Shakespeare.
Yes. Oh, God.
You know,
this is like all my favorite actors that I love watching. I love watching Tilda Swinton. I love, you know, watching Tom Hiddleston. Like, these are really great people at what they do, and I love kind of just the concept. I really like the thought process of trying a vampire romance, kind of making it more, you know, intelligent. And I'm so excited, and I hate that I cannot find a theater near me that's playing this.
Well, and I like the fact that you know it's using the vampire as kind of a analogy for just the outsider. You know, the people who
yeah.
live on the fringes of society, and you know the artist, the party kids, the late night club goers, you know, I mean it's got that whole like you know Soho kind of vibe to it almost.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And just the more I read about it, the more I'm so excited for this movie, and it just is making me want to scream. I have not been able to see this yet.
Well, and the other one I want to see, which is not a vampire movie, but it looks very, very odd and hypnotic and whatnot, is Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah.
Previews for that one. How did I miss that? What's that one?
Well, it's basically, it's like an art house version of Species almost.
Okay.
Somehow she's an alien who is basically seducing men and taking them to some sort of weird intergalactic doorway to take them back to her home world or something. I don't know. The trailers are just so trippy. You're not even sure what you're really watching, but it's gorgeous and disturbing, and I just want to see it.
yeah, that sounds awesome. That sounds up my alley as well.
But yeah, I've got a friend who manages the art house here in Indianapolis, so usually she'll keep me up to date on the more twisted art house films that show up.
Would you describe it as a cinema of shadows?
yes.
Wow.
Well, you know, there. I used to manage theaters for several years, which is why I wrote Cinema of Shadows set in a movie theater, because there are a lot of crazy ghost stories that revolve around theaters.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
I've not done like the, you know, cinema theaters, but in terms of like, you know, play theaters, oh yes, there are ghost stories abound for all that sort of thing.
Well, I just remember when I used to have to close down the theater at night, and there was this huge boiler room that you had to walk through to get to the office.
Oh yeah.
And it was just very, very creepy and very unsettling. And just being in an empty theater at night when you're alone and you have this feeling like you're not alone, it's just very, very creepy.
Yes,
very cool.
Yes, it is. That's one of those things that you can't really explain. You just kind of have to experience it, and then when it happens, it'll absolutely scare the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Right.
Are there any art houses out in Chester? Any kind of indie film places?
The closest one, it's a little place up in Charlotte called The Manor. It's a little two-theater building, and it It's actually, they've built up the area around it a lot now, so, and it's a nice little place. We've actually gone a few times and seen some pretty good movies there. But no, as far as actual theaters in Chester, no. The one theater they used to have is, well, let's see, it was purchased by the actual stage theater company in town, and it's now owned by a church, and it's being renovated finally. But the actual theater is currently condemned, so we can't get in there anymore, which really sucks because it's a beautiful building, and I do miss it.
Oh, Sarah.
And I
You need to come up here to Indianapolis because they're showing Only Lovers Left Alive right now.
Okay. Road trip. Apparently that's what I'm doing next week, and I'm not doing the Star Chamber show or bit in my book, so I'll be up in Indianapolis watching movies.
An evening of movies with Michael West.
Yeah, well, tomorrow night, for anybody in Indianapolis who wants to join me, I'll be at the Hamilton 16 IMAX partaking of Godzilla tomorrow night at 10 p.m.
And if they come, are you picking up their ticket too? Are you picking up the tab for everybody, or just inviting me?
I haven't got my royalty check yet, so no.
Oh man!
Wow!
And even then, I would probably guarantee no.
I was going to say you're much nicer than I am. Like, no.
Speaking of films that are out now, has anyone seen? Now we're just totally off the rails, but has anyone seen the new Amazing Spider-Man film?
I did see it.
No, not yet. It was a little late, so.
Yeah. See, Spider-Man is one of those things. Like, I'm still kind of sliding back into the Marvelverse after being away from it for a long time. But, like, I never quite got cozy with Spider-Man, so I don't know if that's something that I would like sitting through or not. I've heard that this new, set is better than the Sam Raimi set, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Spider-Man.
Well, I love Sam Raimi's, the second one that Sam did with Doc Ock.
Right.
That one was an amazing film. I think it's a new rule, how it's the only the even Star Treks that are good and whatnot. I think there's a rule that the second Spider-Man film in any of the series has to be one of the best superhero movies ever.
Okay.
Because this one was, I mean it had everything. It had humor.
Yeah.
It had amazing spectacle.
I am really interested to see them do the Gwen Stacy development, like, in a live-action movie. So that does fascinate me. I just haven't quite made the commitment to actually go and sit through a Spider-Man movie in a theater. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. But, I would recommend, even if you don't see it in the theater, I saw it in the IMAX, and it was just, incredible. But even if you don't see it in a big theater, you should give this one a try, because even if you were turned off by the Sam Raimi versions, these are much darker, and it's weird to say from a superhero film, but they have a much more realistic take on it. It's very dark and very, kind of science driven, as opposed to just kind of like everyone has superpowers kind of thing.
right. Which I don't mind. I kind of like that take on it to a point. It doesn't bother me so much with the Spider-Man universe. I had different sets of feelings with Batman because I'm more attached to the Batman. That was kind of the universe I grew up with, so I'm a little more attached to that. But I don't know what it is about Spider-Man. Like, I think it's a good universe. I just feel like you know, I tried really hard when I was in high school to kind of get into that and X-Men, and it just never really took. I don't know if it was just very so involved that it kind of, I just didn't get stuff, or if it just kind of just didn't take, but I've never quite gotten into, like, X-Men and Spider-Man as much as I have some other stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah, and speaking of Batman, they just released the first pics of Ben Affleck in the Batman.
I'm not going to be one of those people who, like, just froths at the mouth and screams about it. But I also kind of, I don't know, to me, and this is going to be weird, but to me, I really am still attached to the animated universe. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but, I mean, to me, that is just, like, the perfect blend of all the different elements. And I like the Nolan films a lot, except for the last one. But, I mean, I didn't mind it, but I just feel like resurrecting all this so soon after, you know, having such a really strong trilogy of films, I'm just kind of like, all right, I don't know.
Well, and I think that's my problem with, like, with, you know, I mean, as much as I like the new Spider-Man and whatnot, I think that's one of the things that bothered me about the last film is that, you know, we're doing the origin story again after we just did the origin story. I mean, Grant, you know, it's...
Yeah,
you know, and the,
that's
the
my
same
thing
with
Batman. I'm sure it was Spider-Man too. It's the same stuff over and over. And there are arcs that I would really like. I would just like a straight legit joke movie. I want a No Man's Land trilogy of just that. You know, there's so many good arcs that it just really makes me sad that no one's done that.
Well, and the one that I keep holding out hope for is I hope somebody somewhere will take a stab and do a faithful adaptation of Alan Moore's Swamp Thing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I mean, that whole Gotham City arc that they did in Swamp Thing and Alan Moore's Swamp Thing was just amazing. You know, I mean, Swamp Thing holding Gotham City at bay until they release his girlfriend. You know, I mean, it was just...
Oh, it's
You're reading this, and you're like, I can't believe they're doing this.
I know.
I can't believe DC is letting him get away with this. It's great.
It was fabulous.
Well, the chat room is chiming in a little bit. Looks like Alexandra Christian is pretty pumped about the new Batman for sure. And, yeah, let's try to see what else.
I don't think
that was awesome. To me, I don't know.
I'll
always be my Joker, and that's just how it's going to be. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. I don't care. I will take a stand right now. I do not care. I think, you know, if people would just do straight up animated versions of the comics, you know, make them adult ratings, just put what's in the pages on the screen and have them voice it, you would make all the money. Like, I mean, it would be amazing.
Oh, Alexandra, I completely agree. A Killing Joke movie.
I want an Oracle movie. More than life, I want an Oracle movie. Like, oh my gosh.
Well, you know, and you know, people were. Has anybody been watching the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series?
I've not. No, that's straight NCIS, and I'm faithful to that.
Well, you know, it had a wonderful start, and then it got kind of rocky there for a little bit. But then, like most Joss Whedon's shows, it found its rhythm, and just went with it, and it just, you know, the last half of the season was just. When it was all kind of linear and all kind of falling into place, and the relationships were all there and the banter was all there, and it just really, really found its rhythm, and I really enjoyed it going into it. And then the finale, the finale was great. I loved the finale last night for the season, and luckily they're bringing it back next year, so I'm interested to see. The one thing that I really felt bad for, though, was the people who did not see Captain America before, you know, because basically you had S.H.I.E.L.D. and then they had Captain America where they basically did all this stuff, and then the next episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. picked up basically, okay, this all happened in Captain America, and we're going with this.
Yeah.
And it's just like, if you hadn't seen Captain America, it would have totally ruined everything for you.
Yeah, about that. So with this in mind, so we can kind of get back to, I don't know, some content for the show, how do you feel, I don't know, let's see how we can relate this to urban fantasy, since that was what we were supposed to talk about.
Well,
how
superhero.
Superheroes are urban fantasy. They are, totally. What do you think in terms of this stuff that we're talking about then? Like, where do you think, you know, like in terms of comics or in stories in general, like, where do things hit well for urban fantasy, and when things kind of wonk out or get people irritated, is that just because it's not fan pandering, or is it because it's not playing the urban fantasy elements well?
Well, I personally, what I love about urban fantasy is that, you know, people, I've heard people say that, well, people who write urban fantasy don't have to do world building. And no, I totally disagree with that, because the challenge of urban fantasy is to build your world within our world and make it all fit and make sense.
Right.
And to me, the most satisfying urban fantasy is when you read something where somebody has taken some aspect of society or something and related it to ancient mythology or maybe a brand new mythology, and just made you go, oh wow.
Right.
You know, those oh wow moments, that to me is when urban fantasy just works its best.
Oh, totally. Definitely. I mean, to me, like, I think, you know, since we're talking about comics, I think the Sandman series was one that totally really kind of blew my mind open as to what was possible, you know, talking about, like, old mythology and new mythology as well, and, like, incorporating it in our own world and past history of our world and other world. Like, that just blew my ever-loving mind open. I think I've read that series, like, 5 times, 7 times now, and I never get tired of it.
Right.
Oh, I love Sandman. I hate that it had to end, because I think that is actually my favorite comic series of all time.
Yeah.
And
I
know,
think so.
Talking
I haven't
about
read
urban
the
fantasy
yet, but I just.
You know, talking about urban fantasy, I still contend that urban fantasy is one of the hardest genres to write. Because not only are you creating elements that would go into an alternate universe, but you have to make them believable in the real world. And that's not easy.
Yeah, you do.
Right, and then you have to decide whether you're going to go open or closed universe. Because, you know, is basically, you know, are the vampires out of the coffin and the wizards, you know, walking down the street working magic in broad daylight? Or do they do it in secret and we still pretend like the world is normal as it is and it all goes on behind closed doors?
There are hard things to both. I think pulling both of those off well, there are advantages and disadvantages and, you know, easy parts and not so easy parts about writing both of those sides of the coin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And see, Lex made a good point in the chat room. She said you also have to account for what you consider the regular people.
Right, because I mean, throwing in the Doctor Who element, you know, you always have that one that, you know, when they bring the regular person into the TARDIS, and they always have that line where they look around and go, it's bigger on the inside than on the outside, and you have to do that every time you bring somebody new in, you know?
Yeah.
So you it's the same thing with urban fantasy. It's like every time you bring a regular person, quote unquote, into your mythology and expose them to it, you have to have that moment and you have to make it realistic for that person, but yet you have to make it not the same thing that you've done 15 times already.
Over and over, yeah. No, exactly.
Well, do we at this point, we've probably kept our audience that were waiting for the big announcement, waiting probably long enough. What do you think?
Sure.
Yeah, we can put them out of their misery now.
Yeah, go for it, I guess.
Good night,
so,
everybody.
Okay. We got on quite a discussion there, and I was just like, well, we probably should mention the big news, too. But we have a guest of honor. This is exciting for Imaginarium. We finally have awesome guest of honor who actually is one of the biggest success stories in the indie book world, bar none, and just an absolutely wonderful individual who is going to be joining us this September. And we are, we are going to be announcing right now here live on the Star Chamber Show for the first time, our guest of honor at Imaginarium 2014 is Rose Pressy. That's awesome. I love that. But Rose is, she's a USA Today best-selling author. She writes in the paranormal kind of vein, and she's got like a lot of different series. I mean, which have all been like incredibly successful. But like the Riley Cruz series, the Mystic Cafe series, the Haunted Renovation Mystery series. She's got just the Maggie P.I. series. I mean, she's got a lot of different series out there, and a lot of very popular series, and she's got a really, really dedicated fan base, and she's really done just wonderfully, and but she's also just so nice, and she's very, very much a person that, you know, people will really enjoy meeting at Imaginarium. So we are very excited to have her.
Oh,
yeah,
that's your fan base there.
I think the fans are breaking into the studio. Susan, do you have the door shut there? Are we back under control?
I'll put the chair in front of it. Sorry, I'll lock the door and get the chair in front of it. Tape over the broken glass. Apparently there's a claw army trying to break in as well. Oops.
Yeah, Susan had to release our special crack unit of clowns to shore up the security here. But we do have a. For those who don't know, I mean, we do have state of the art facilities, state of the art for sure.
Clown bouncers, that's right. Only on Star Chamber are you finding clown bouncers. Great, go check your ass. You better be careful.
I think
dive,
with that sound effect, we're over budget now.
Too many clown bouncers. My bad. So
we're
going to be an Urban American series. Clown bouncers. There you go.
Where's the dubstep button? We need that dubstep button.
Oh, now that would be awesome. Have Michael do the mix, DJ mixing at a dance at Imaginarium that we're, like late night. That would be awesome. Oh my God, that is too cool.
Yeah, that would be, you know, just throw on some, you know, hearing aid and.
So what do y'all think? You pumped now?
Oh yeah.
Not that you weren't pumped before, but
so,
well,
I'm pumped.
Yeah.
No, I'm definitely this is definitely the crown jewel of our guest list. I really am excited about having her come aboard. So, and I've had the opportunity to interact with her a bit, and she is just awesome. So. I think you're going to be in for quite a treat. But her story is just phenomenal. I mean, she's definitely a huge indie book success story. And I think her ascent to the heights of success is a really inspirational one. And, you know, she's got a fabulously wonderful catalog. But I think that a lot of – some of the things that she'll be sharing are definitely things that, you know, give some authors some hope and inspiration too. So – it's going to be cool.
Well, it sounds like a
very
lot of
cool.
fun. Now, will she be doing panels and stuff, or is she mainly just there to meet and greet, or what's the deal, Stephen?
She will definitely be doing a moderated Q&A, so, you know, the fans will be able to, you know, attend a session that's totally spotlighting her. But she will be doing a couple panels, and we are in discussion now. We don't know how many people will be let in, but we have some preliminary discussion going about her conducting a workshop. We will – looks like we're probably going to go – add that.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't expect more than about two panels in addition. We want her to have a good time. We don't want to overtax her over the weekend. We want to have a really good experience. So probably a couple panels, and then I'd say a dedicated Q&A session. And certainly, at this event, there'll be plenty of opportunity to get, you know, if you have books and stuff like that, to get them signed. So, yeah, there'll be plenty of opportunity for that. So. But, you know, it's going to be a nice – we want to give her a great time and not have too much on her plate while she's, you know, there. But she will be definitely a part of programming. And, you know, pretty sure we'll be doing at least one workshop, a couple panels, and a Q&A session. So there you go, Sayla. There's the answer.
Very
awesome.
Cool.
And look her up on Amazon for sure if you're not familiar with her stuff.
I'm familiar with her. Yeah.
Yeah, I know Chris up Cabin Goddess, Chris Morton. I know she's pretty pumped about it too, because I know she's a big fan of roses. So hopefully that'll lure the Cabin Goddess down from her mountain stronghold in Alaska. So we'll hold our breath here. But yeah, this is definitely a cool thing. So yeah, expect some more detail on this. We're definitely going to be doing a little press release on it tomorrow, but wanted a chance to break it on the show. So yeah, now there we go. We had some cool sound effects courtesy of the ever awesome Susan Roddy there.
Hey, not all of those were my fault tonight. Somebody else was pushing buttons.
I don't know what you're talking about. I would never push people's buttons.
Oh, haha! It's more than one.
I am really impressed you could say that with a straight face.
The buttons were shiny. Well.
And Michael tells the truth. The buttons were shiny.
Nice.
Yep.
We need, like, the MGM lion roar.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not copyrighted.
And you know, like...
I am aware that has nothing to do with MGM at all.
Or the merry-go-round broke down, you know.
Yeah.
That we definitely need.
Or maybe we'll just get Andy Hott from Zero King to sing the national anthem, something truly crazy. So
there we go.
There you go. Okay.
Oh man.
Somewhere there has to be like a recording of like Dokken or somebody doing the national anthem.
Oh, I guarantee you there are. Yeah, there's definitely. Yeah, definitely some of those. Yeah, you know, I have to look something. I bet you YouTube's got a few of those kind of things on there.
Oh yeah.
That's what we need.
Well, Stephen, don't you have a new entry in your series coming up?
Oh my God, yes I do. It's been a while. I had a rough 2013, and those that know me know the details, but. Got knocked off course. I did have the two short story collections came out, but I haven't had a novel in a little while, so finally am back in the action there. It's called The Undying Light. It is book four in the Rising Dawn saga, and we are going to launch at Joseph Beth in Lexington on June the 7th, and there's a very important reason for that date. But it was picked for a very specific reason, and that's actually why I was actually out today getting the new author photos done for it, so that's cool. But yeah, it's definitely this one is very, very action heavy, so I'm pretty excited about it, and I can't wait to unveil the new artwork pretty shortly. And I also have Matt Perry as the artist on this series. So those of you that are familiar with Matt's work and are definitely can expect some more stuff right around the corner here. So
yay.
I'm pretty excited. Woo. Yeah, and Amanda. I also, oddly enough, also have Amanda as Amanda DeBoard as my editor on this series as well. So, and she feels strongly that this is the strongest title in the series, and definitely, definitely hits full force. So she's really confident in it. So that was definitely encouraging to hear. So we'll just leave it up to the readers to give the verdict. But I think it's a fun book, and it definitely broadens things out, and it definitely tightens up the character development. Is really, really strong in this one, and a lot of twists and turns, and some big twists. So yeah, get ready.
Awesome.
Very cool.
So yeah, right around the corner.
All right, and while you're talking, I'm going to put you on the spot here because I know I had told you earlier today, but I have actually been reading Hellscapes. And since you mentioned those, let me just say, there are a couple of stories in there you don't want to read while you're eating lunch. I found that out the hard way today. But yeah, so that was one of the things that seems to have, I guess, kind of gotten pushed under the rug for you in the last year. So yeah, it's definitely something people need to read. So I'm going to make you talk about it now.
Oh dear. Okay. All right. I will. Ask away. What would you like to know?
Well, I guess the first question would be, where did that come from? Because it's totally different than anything else you've done as far as I've seen.
This is actually a part of me. Has always been a part of me. Some Michael can definitely share with me, as far as, like, our love of Clive Barker. I mean, Clive Barker is always, one of my writer. I love the macabre. I love the out-of-the-box, kind of real twisty, kind of really bizarre kind of elements that worked in a lot of his stuff, like, with the Books of Blood and things like that. I've always been a fan of things like Dante's Inferno, the imagery there, and I love horror. So I never really had the right project to do just yet, but then this idea for a theme collection developed, and it's definitely something I've had a lot of fun with, and finally, I'm able to show that side of me. If you look in the Rising Dawn saga and certain scenes in even the Fires in Eden series, you will see definite dark horror elements in there, without question. But this is a chance just to go no holds barred and bring together all those kind of influences and things and do something completely different. And they're themed. The title describes it. All the stories are set in hell. So they definitely have a very darker tone to them, but definitely take on the visceral, macabre kind of mode. But there definitely is a rhyme to the reason, and definitely a theme to these stories. So the readers, I think, will pick up on that as they go through them.
It's definitely been interesting. I've had a lot of fun with it. It's one of those things where I just kind of have to sit there and go, huh? I've had a good time. Reading it, but everybody knows that I'm more than a little twisted. So I guess it all works out for the best, doesn't it?
No, not at all. Dude, that's gonna be normal. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's kind of funny because I always feel like I have to issue a disclaimer when I talk about them because they are so different from my fantasy, my steampunk, even the Sword and Sorcery, even like Rising Dawn Saga, which is to me cross-genre, but it gets lumped into urban fantasy. But I always feel like I have to warn people, this is very different, it's very dark, and it's very visceral. So, I said, it's not at all like the other stuff. It's very, on the same token, if you are familiar with my kind of themes and things, you'll find them in here. It's just done with a different part of the palette. So,
Yeah, the themes are definitely very, very strong. Now, I've only read the first three stories, and I know you were telling me earlier today that the next one on the list is the one that you really want to know about, but I haven't gotten there yet, so you'll just have to wait.
Yeah, I challenged myself on that one, if you're talking about Drowning in Tears. That was one where I really pushed the envelope a little bit, but I have actually gotten really good feedback on that. So people got it, what I was trying to symbolize, even though it's probably very disturbing. People did get what I was going for, so they, you know, they know.
Dude,
it wasn't
disturbing
just.
Disturbing is good.
Yeah.
Disturbing
yeah,
makes
yeah.
people think, makes them feel, makes the world go round.
Yeah.
Don't knock it.
I'm not knocking it. I'm not knocking it.
Right,
no.
Don't apologize for it, I guess. You have, you know, it's good that you're, I like it that you're exploring all those different facets to your themes and your, you know, emotionscapes and all of that. I find it very refreshing when an author will be like, you know what, I'm going to do this, and just goes for it. So good for you, man. Good for you.
Well, thank you.
Well, I know when I always sit down to write a story, I never sit down and say, well, I'm going to write a horror story, or I'm going to write an urban fantasy story, or, you know, it's just like I just write about the characters that come to me and the situations mm-hmm. that come to me, and whatever it ends up being, it ends up being.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Because, see, that's the thing, though. If you sit down to write something specific, it's never going to turn out that way, ever.
No.
Right.
It ends up reading gimmicky, you know, it ends up reading very one-dimensional as opposed to characters that make you care or situations that really make you feel.
Right. That's why you can't write to trends, you know. I mean, you can't say, well, this is hot right
oh,
now,
no.
I'm going to sit down and write that.
Yeah. I've never done that.
Well, like when I studied, it's similar when I studied acting, you know, I had a professor that very much was like, you do not act a state of being. You don't act, you know, sad or in love or something like that. You don't. You always go for the verb because that's what makes things interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you don't try to write to static things or to try to write to a formula or what's in vogue or whatever, because it's not. You can't. You can't.
Right.
And see, I'm glad you brought that point up because, see, now, granted, yes, I am also the romance writer in the room, so I have every right to complain about this, but that's what drives me crazy about the romance genre these days. Everybody is so busy trying to write to a formula and write the next big thing that's just like the first big thing that just came out that it gets stale and boring so fast.
That would be
maybe
like
that's
trying
why
to
my...
fall in love the right way, and you
well,
can't... The way you fall in love is not the way I fall in love. You know, you can't do that to a formula. I don't want to read love
and see,
in a formula.
I can totally hear Lex screaming in the background right now going, yes, 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 I'm the same way. But I think it's one of these things that we've talked about before. And I really think that the reason why my romance books don't sell quite as well as, you know, 50 Shades of Grey is because I'm not writing to a formula. I'm not writing what I think people are wanting to read. I write what I like and what I would want to read. And if somebody else likes it, great, but I guess that's not exactly the best business model for this day and age now, is it?
Well, I think you just have to find your readers. I mean, I can't help but think, I don't know, maybe I'm just an optimist, but I can't help but think there are others that share your mindset. So, and we're at like a minute 30, just so you all know.
Yeah, it's yelling at us, but... And, of course, from the chat room, Lex goes, me? I never scream, and I can just see the innocent look on her face, and she says it, and then she busts out laughing. So, well, we have a minute left. How are we going to end this show since we don't have somebody to put on the spot about links?
Well, next week we have Alex Adams. We can announce next week's guest.
Woo-hoo. Hey, go for it.
He's not gonna cancel, is he?
No, Alex is pretty solid.
We will reschedule the guest for tonight. Don't worry, we'll make it work. But Alex will be with us next week.
The
see, here's
Alex
the thing: if he cancels next
played,
week, he has to live with us afterwards.
Well, that's true. We'll just beat him up if Alex cancels. We'll just go after him.
The role of Alex will now be played by Selah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Ask me anything about the Brotherhood of the Dwarves, and I'll make up the answers next week if he doesn't show up. There you go.
to avoid the destruction of your series, Alex, you must show up.
That's the new rule.
Oh, wow.
If a guest cancels, I get to answer all their questions now. That's the new rule. So, okay.
End it. On that note, we are out of time.
Right on.
And the internet breathes a sigh of relief.
Well, that's been fun. So, yeah, have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.